But first up, we're going to be talking about the early Chinese astronomers, and I'm delighted to welcome Dr. Jean-Marc Bonnet-Bidot. Welcome to the show, Jean.
Yes, welcome to you.
First thing to say in general is that the Chinese were very early, they were involved in very sophisticated studies of the stars, long before the Europeans were doing it.
Yeah, they were very early and they were very, very consistent with observations. This is the main characteristic of China. They have been observing the sky for, we could say, for 2,000 years nearly continuously.
Okay.
And recording very nicely the celestial events.
And why was it so important for the Chinese to, record the stars? Was there a social reason for it, or what was the driving force for it?
It was extremely important affairs because the emperor was named the son of events, and his main task was to keep harmony between earth and sky.
Okay.
So he has to pay a lot of astronomer to look at the sky and record all the events.
Okay. Now, there's something that you got very interested in. It's a document. It's a famous document, actually, a star chart called the Dun Huang. Is that how you pronounce it? Star chart?
Dun Huang, yes.
Maybe tell us about this document. I'm sure most listeners won't have heard of it.
Well, this document is very, very special in the history of astronomy because it's the oldest known star chart that we have all civilization known. It's in China.
Mm-hmm.
And it was discovered very, very, by accident, we should say.
Okay, just to explain maybe to listeners, a star chart, what exactly is that?
A star chart is, of course, it's manuscript, it's drawn by hand, but is a map, we could say, where you have plot all the stars that you see in the sky.
Okay. So it would be slightly different if you do this in China as if you do it in France or Ireland?
Not really, because we have all the same sky. Only important if we have north or south. But if you are in the north hemisphere, we all see all the same stars.
Okay.
So, but the difference is major because depending on the culture, you will plot them differently and associate the star differently. We call that constellation. Mean constellation is stella con. Put the star together. And the drawings that you make with those stars is very different from one civilization to another.
Right, it's like how you join the dots then, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, you can make a different shape or whatever it is.
Yes, and China have a very different way of doing that and much more precise because instead of making big constellation, like we know the Big Dipper or things like that, they are very big, they made very small and tiny group of two or three stars sometimes only. Mm. So this was a way for them to give, we say, coordinates by only naming the small constellation.
Mm, okay.
So it was very smart.
Okay, and for other reasons, I suppose, we went for bigger, we wanted to see patterns or shapes or in Europe here. Much later, we had the Big Dipper. It wasn't just two or three stars.
It was ancient way of doing because we inherited that from the Greek, the ancient Greek. Mm-hmm. So we more or less kept the way of linking the star together. But this was, in Europe, it was more like, mythology.
Okay.
While in China, it was real concrete matter. There was the bed of the emperor, there was the concubine, there were the servants, there was all, we call that the mirror effect.
Mm-hmm.
They were thinking of the sky as a mirror of the earth.
As a mirror of the earth, okay. Now tell us, this document was discovered by accident. It's quite a story, but maybe give us a shortened version of how it was discovered.
Yeah, very short version. Mm. It is in near the Gobi Desert, in the west part of China, in a very desertic place. And there was a Buddhist monastery left over and closed, let's say, near the millennium, 1,000 years modern time, but completely forgotten. And then a monk started to dig around and mm-hmm. clean the... This monastery was curved into a cliff,
Yeah.
With many caves. And in one cave, he knocked against the wall, and there was a strange sound, and he demolished the wall, and he found behind the wall 40,000 manuscripts.
Wow, a huge library.
It's a full library. It's incredible. It's a full library. And because it was in the desert, it was very dry, all the documents are very well preserved.
Mm-hmm.
And this library, so you could date it for 4th century to 10th century. And among that was this chart.
Okay, now you're an astronomer, obviously, so you know there was lots of stuff there, different things, maps and whatever, but this was probably what interested you most.
Yeah, there was nearly this unique astronomical document. The other were more religious texts and calendars. So I was interested by the document, but I thought that many other people have studied the document before me. So I once asked the British Library, because they kept the document now. It was sent by explorers which were there to London, and I asked them, well, do you have some information on the document? And they said, no, we have four lines, just a caption.
Okay.
That was all.
So you must have been amazed nobody had looked at this.
I was very amazed, because it's a very beautiful document. So we start to do the what we call the scientific study. Namely, we try to evaluate the accuracy of the map.
Right. And on accuracy and information, how did it measure up?
Well, it was quite a surprise to us, because we discovered that the map, which is a complete sky, you know, it's not only a part of the sky. So you have to solve a very complex mathematical problem, is to project a sphere on a plane.
Okay.
This is very complicated, and it was done in Europe in the 16th century.
Right. So, sorry, I think this was dated, if I'm right, around 650 AD. So our European people, that was 1450. So we were almost 800 years behind.
Exactly. And the dating was accurate, because we made use of a very different method to date the document. And it was, the document was known by a famous sinologist, which is called Joseph Needham,
mm-hmm.
which has written a very huge book, which is called Science and Civilization in China. And he quoted the document, and he gave a date, which was much later, like, you know, 940.
Okay.
We never understood why he gave this date, but we make the study again and we find it's much earlier.
Right. This is because of the paper. You can date the paper, obviously, can't you? No.
This is unfortunate, because I would like to do that, but the British Library won't let you take a piece of a paper.
Oh, they won't. Not even. All right. So how did you get the date?
I will try to do that later on.
Okay.
The discussion. But we date with from astronomical observation, and from the fact that we find a name in the document, which is very probably the author of the document. It is a famous mathematician and astronomer of the early Tang dynasty, which is the 7th century.
Okay, and from the actual positions of the stars in the sky, you can infer that it was a particular time in history.
We could, but it was not the most accurate method, because, you know, the pole star changed slightly, you know, but very slowly. So it gave us some accuracy of 100 years. So it was not accurate enough. We make use of some specific text in China. They use specific characters, and we find them in documents. We could date accurately.
Okay. So this really, if it goes back that far, this would be probably the oldest atlas of the stars from any part of the world, any civilization?
Yeah. It doesn't mean it was the first ever produced. I mean, we have some documents telling us that some ancient Greek may have produced maps and things like that. But it is certainly the extant one, the one we have still existing today.
Mm. How did they do it? How did they observe? Do they have instruments or what?
They have a lot of instruments. Of course, this is done only naked eye. You can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But they were using it's called armillary sphere.
Mm.
That means a graduate cycle with tubes to see the particular sky you want to observe. You
with
know?
A tube. So it's kind of like a very early telescope?
It was a very early telescope, and they were responsible for inventing what we call now the mounting of the modern telescope, because they were taking equator as a reference, and this is a modern way of doing that.
Okay, so if the Chinese were so far ahead of Europe then in astronomy, would they have known, for example, what Copernicus, what was very controversial many, many years later, hundreds and hundreds of years later, that actually the Earth went around the Sun rather than vice versa, things like that?
No, they were not very interested to building a geometrical model of the universe. They were interested to decode what happens in the sky. So it was two different ways of looking at the sky. In Europe, we used to think about something, you know, unchanging. We call that the heaven spheres. You know, spheres were made of crystal. They will not change, you know.
Yeah.
While the Chinese people, they were thinking of what can change in the sky. And they find very different things that can change. For instance, you were talking about pulsar a minute ago, and pulsar produced by star explosion. And they were very good to point where the star explosion exists in the past.
Okay, so they were monitoring any kind of change that was happening
exactly,
in the heavens.
Comets. They were extremely good at comets. We could build the Halley Comet now from their observation to a very good accuracy for more than 2,000 years, you know.
Mm-hmm. How did astronomy then continue in China in subsequent centuries? Did they, you know, continue to advance?
Yeah, they did continue and produce much, much better star maps after the Dunhuang charts, you know. And they were even carved onto a stone, you know, so they're still kept in China. And they continue to map but after the Jesuits came to China, there was a misunderstanding between the two. They start to change their way of looking to the sky, and this has stopped and stayed to the same level for many years after that.
Right. What was the main disagreement with the Jesuits?
Well, this particular fact that the Jesuits want to take the ecliptic, which is the line that follows the sun through the sky, as a reference, while the Chinese astronomers were using the equator, which is the most normal way to do. So they changed the Chinese instrument, so there was a big affair between the two, and also in prediction of the eclipse, the Jesuits were much, much better than the Chinese because they have a more accurate planetary motion equations, you know.
Okay, and maybe we can use the Chinese data to confirm things in history that, you know, might appear in the historical records.
Yes, we did so. I mean, this is why I came to the subject, because now we're using, satellites, and especially high-energy satellites, capturing X-rays and gamma rays from the sky, then we find some remnant of explosions. Some of the explosions took place several centuries before, or even millennium before, but it happens very often now, right now, that once you find some remnant in the sky, you look at the Chinese record and you find a record which corresponds to this explosion.